Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Home the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us each week as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to Home the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul.
My name is Jamie.
And we wanted to give our listeners a heads up for today. We're going to be having a discussion on a sensitive topic. So if you've got your kids in the room or you're listening in your car or something like that, this may not be the broadcast to listen to at this moment. I would get them interested in something else or listen at a different time. But we just kind of wanted to put that little warning out there at the beginning that we're just going to be talking about something that's a little sensitive and maybe awkward for you to listen to around your children.
Absolutely good plan.
So today we're going to be talking about pornography. It is something that has touched my life and something that I struggled with for many years. And just felt like it was an appropriate time to talk about it and give some facts and some background and things like that. So wanted to start off with just some basic facts about the pornography industry. And I got these direct off of Google this morning, so these are up to date. And I thought, honestly, they were rather disturbing. Number one, the global porn industry is worth over $1 billion.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. And approximately 30% of all internet traffic is related to porn. Number three, porn sites get more visitors each month than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Now, to me, that is mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm, that is.
Because you think about how many people watch Netflix every day. Mm-hmm. How many people use Amazon. I mean, you and I are, unfortunately, Amazon addicts, you know.
I wouldn't say addicts, but that's what... It's convenient.
Yes.
It's convenient to get some things there.
I'm not much of a Twitter person, but, you know, still, I know a lot of people that use those things. And if you think about all of those, a porn site will get more visitors than those all combined. And Pornhub, which is the largest of the sites, is estimated to make over $4.4 million per day.
Wow.
So it made me think, and, you know, Jamie and I were discussing the other day, you know, topics for our podcast and so on, and this was a subject that came up, and it's really kind of interesting for me because I'm going to be 59 here in a couple of days, and, you know, when I grew up, there was no internet.
I think it's very hard to parent kids. I wouldn't want to parent kids in this day and age. You know, when you and I were young, and even when we were raising our five children, we didn't have the kind of access that kids have today.
Yes.
And even with our own grandchildren and our children kind of confiding in us and talking about this subject matter and other things that involve the internet, that it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. Even though my kids are pretty strict about protecting their children from this kind of stuff, it's hard.
Yeah.
And I don't envy them, and I'm sad for them.
Mm-hmm.
That this is what life is about now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very much, because back when I was growing up, there wasn't internet porn sites because there was no internet.
Right.
You know, so you had to get it out of magazines from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I vividly remember the first time I ever saw pornography. I was 7 years old. My mom and dad were visiting a friend, and I, you know, it was typical thing. Parents are upstairs visiting with their friends. Us kids are running around in the basement. I go into the guy's bathroom, and being a curious 7-year-old kid, I start going through drawers and looking at things, and I find his Playboy magazine. And I had never seen anything like that. Yes, I understood what a naked woman was, but I had never seen anything like that. And to be 100% honest, I was hooked from the first view. It was just like, wow, this was something. I mean, it flooded every hormone, everything that you can have at that age. And really didn't see any more. I mean, that was my one exposure. But I found it very interesting that after that, between that time and the age of around 13, it was like I was a magnet to that kind of stuff. I could find it if someone had thrown it away, because unfortunately, kind of an embarrassing fact, I was a dumpster diver as a kid. Open up the
You were one of those people.
Yes, you know. Always looking for something interesting. Did somebody throw something away? You know, what could I find? I mean, embarrassingly, I remember finding a glass bowl in a trash can one time and going, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. Brought it home, cleaned it up, gave it to my mother for Mother's Day. So, you know, that was just me. But I always found pornography. Somebody would throw away a Playboy magazine or something, I would find it. I know now as an adult, that was just the enemy planting things it's everywhere bait. I was going.
It's yes. bait. I'm not much of a fisherman. I've never really gotten into that sport. I had a grandmother that liked to fish, but you know, I know enough that you got to put something on the end of the hook to be enticing, mm-hmm. you know, a worm or whatever.
And yeah.
the enemy operates the same way. He puts his little worm on the end of his hook and he baits you.
Yeah. Oh, and believe me, I was baited. And then at the age of 13, it kind of moved up a level. I had a neighborhood friend who looked at me one day and said that he had discovered his father's penthouse magazine collection hidden in the back of the closet. And he began selling me for $1 mm-hmm. an old magazine. He's like, this is at the bottom of the stack. My dad won't miss this. So I began getting these for my friend. And I hate to say this, it was easy to get it in the house, because usually it was on the way home from school that I have my backpack, or on the way home from the comic book store, I'd have my brown bag full of comics. These magazines would slide right in there, and my mother didn't really go through things.
Yeah, and your mom and dad would have never tolerated.
Oh, no, no.
That kind of stuff in your home.
No, not at all. And then at the age of 14, I found out that the comic book store I was frequenting at that time sold Playboy and Penthouse magazine back issues for $1. And I mean, here I am 14. This comic book owner had no qualms about selling pornographic magazines to a kid. He just didn't. He was looking to make money. You wanted to pay the $1, he'd sell it to you. He did not care. So I would begin to, you know, grow a collection in a sense. And I will never forget the one time, and I've told Jamie this story a number of times. I came home from school, and here I am with my little secret collection, and I open up the most recent thing. You know, I find the magazine I most recently got, and I open it up, and there on every page there was a naked woman, was a Bible verse written in my mother's handwriting, taped to the picture. On literally every picture in the book.
The thing about it is, I can see her kind of doing that. Like, I can't, but I can.
Yeah. And to know that she was that thorough mm-hmm. to go through literally every picture and put a Bible verse about how what I was doing was wrong, and sin and lust and all of that.
Making a covenant with your eyes. Yes. All those things.
All those scriptures. Mm-hmm. And as weird as it was, we never really talked about it. I remember coming downstairs. All I said was, Mom, I'm sorry. she hugged me, and that was the end of it. I threw it away. And that was usually the pattern, which is a typical pattern for kids involved in this. You get caught, you throw everything away, you
swear you're never going to do it again.
Never going to do this again. And 2-3 weeks later, you had another book.
Satan lowers the hook with the bait on it to see if you'll take it.
And for me, the real turning point in all of it happened around the age of 16. A friend of mine named Ken and I, we would go everywhere looking for comics because we were both avid comic book collectors. So we would visit bookstores looking for comics for sale. And I remember we found this bookstore that had opened up right down the street from the comic book store where we were at. And it was called Bobby's Books. And we were like, oh, okay, Bobby's Books. Maybe they've got comics. Walked in the door and made the big revelation. This was a hardcore pornography store. I mean, this wasn't just Penthouse and Playboy. This was the hardcore stuff. And I'd like to say that they shooed us out and said, hey, you know, your kids, get out of here, and so on. But once again, it was, hey, as long as you're paying money, we don't care. Even though it was against the law for us to be in there. And not only did I discover the hardcore pornography books, I also discovered pornographic movies. Because I had never seen anything like that before. It had always just been magazines. Well, now it's like you could go in there and you could sit in a booth and pay a quarter and watch 2 or 3 minutes of a pornographic movie. Mm-hmm. And as long as you kept pumping quarters in, you kept watching the movie. Mm-hmm. And that just fueled things even worse. And then at the age of 18, while I was in college, me and a lot of the guys there in the dorm would rent pornographic movies from Blockbuster. I mean, they sold them. They had a little room. You'd go back in there, and as long as you were over 18, they didn't care. And so it just continued to fuel all of that. And I would go through cycles. There were times where it was like that was real prevalent, and then there were times where it wasn't. It wasn't like something that just I was involved in 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It would go in phases.
Like cycles.
Yes. And you and I started dating seriously, and then we got married. My thought process on it was, oh, I'm going to get married. I'm going to have a wife. Now I'm going to be in the right of, hey, I'm a husband, I'm going to have a wife, we're going to have sex. This pornography addiction is going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my mindset on it.
I guess my question is, and I think people would probably be interested in this, what do you feel triggered your desire to pursue pornography? Like maybe before we were married, like in college, what would trigger that? And then what would happen to make you say, I don't want to be involved in this anymore? And then what would trigger it to come back again?
Well, usually the trigger was stress, or it was loneliness, or it was just seeing something and being turned on. And it had become a regular thing with me. That's how I dealt with that. If I was, you know, needing stress relief, it was, you know, just get a pornography magazine, view it, masturbate. And what would usually end that was I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had been going to church all of my life. I had accepted Jesus when I was 7, which I find it interesting. The first time I ever see pornography is the age of 7, which is when I became a Christian.
Yeah.
And I would go through those things where I knew it was wrong. I knew what I was looking at was wrong.
And you were convicted.
Yes. The Holy Spirit would convict me. I would pray to God and say, I'm sorry, I'm never going to do this again. And I would go for a while where, yes, I didn't have a desire for it. Then I would go through those periods where I started to crave it. It helped me relieve stress. It released endorphins. It makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and you tell yourself, well, I'm just going to white knuckle it.
Yeah.
And you do that for a little while. And then finally, it's just like the dam would burst and you would do it. And then you'd start the whole cycle over again. And so it was always something that was shameful. It was never something for me that was, oh, I did this, no big deal. Who really cares? From the beginning, it was a shameful behavior.
Well, I know upon you and I reconnecting again and dating and becoming engaged, that was certainly nothing we talked about. I mean, it was nothing that you...
Oh, no.
You didn't share that with me. That wasn't anything that was even on my radar that you would have been involved in that. So it was something that was very much hidden from me.
Well, and it was something I hid from everybody. I mean, yes, my I would occasionally slip up, leave a magazine in the bathroom, or, you know, I mean, I remember my sister finding one time, knocking on my door and going, "You need to get rid of this before Mom and Dad see this." You know, so it was kind of a secret, but it wasn't. But it was one of those things, even after being married, it's not that really I was viewing pornography all the time, but when I began having my dissociated fugue episodes, when I would come to and realize I was gone and here I am in a location, I always had pornography with me. So I knew at some point in there I had gone and purchased it.
And I do remember you basically confessing that to me, that this had been a problem that you had had off and on, and that you were unsure how you came to obtain that during these episodes. So I think then I began to realize that things were definitely more serious than just a once in a while issue. Not that even once in a while is okay, but this was a little more serious.
Yeah. So I remember at one point looking at the pastor of one of the churches we were going to at the time and talking to him about it and what was going on. And it was during that time where we didn't know what my mental illness was, but we knew what the behavior was. And so we began treating different things that were going on, different behaviors. And one of those was the pornography. Well, it was suggested to us that we attend a support group for couples of people who are involved in sex addiction and porn addiction and so on, called Pure Life Ministries. And honestly, that was a game changer. It was a game changer because I was able to go and sit with a group of guys and finally talk about it. Because I didn't talk about pornography with my friends. My friends growing up and stuff like that, we didn't talk about it. You know, this wasn't something that I brought up in youth group, you know, or anything like that. This was my little secret. And finally began talking. And then two, you were able to sit down with women whose husbands were involved in this.
Yeah, that was very freeing too, because as a woman, there's a lot of pain involved in that. There's a lot of rejection involved in that. You feel like, and I'm sure if there's any women listening to this podcast who has a husband, is involved in this, it really plays a lot on your heart and in your mind, because you feel rejected and you feel like, why am I not good enough? And as a wife, you know, I thought I was meeting my husband's needs. I thought I was performing okay. I thought I was doing everything that needed to be done that would keep him from wanting to do those kinds of things. And it really could create a lot of depression and a lot of just stress and just sadness. That and I think sitting with a group of women and realizing you're not alone. You're not in this by yourself. There actually is a lot of women that are feeling just like you are. And being able to pray and just talk and share, cry, and just minister to each other in God's word, because this was a Christian ministry. Yeah. And I met some very awesome people, very awesome women that even today I still keep in contact with them. Certainly our lives have moved on. I mean, you had long-term relationships with these women, but it was a super helpful group, and it was an experience that I would recommend to anybody, you know, because I think keeping that hidden and being ashamed, that's exactly where the enemy wants you.
Yeah.
He wants you to keep it hidden and feel a lot of shame, where if you bring it out into the light and you expose it, it doesn't have as much power over you anymore.
True.
You know?
True. So we attended this group for a couple of years and, I mean, made the commitment to do it because it was not close to our home. We were living in Hillsboro, Missouri at the time, and this group met all the way up in
West County.
And that was an hour drive for us, yeah, one
it
way.
Was. It was a commitment.
And we went every week. And after a while, it was like, I don't remember if their group shut down or what happened, but we made the decision to start running a group ourselves out of Life Christian Center. And we ran Pure Life Recovery for a while out of there. That transitioned into our Clean Heart Recovery program that we ran out of our house. But there were a number of things that we learned through that that I wanted to take a moment to share with our listeners. And it's ways to deal with not only pornography temptation, but also with just temptation in general. And the first one that I had to learn was be careful what you're looking at. You know, Matthew 6, 22 through 24 says the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be filled of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And that verse was very helpful for me because, I'm not going to say anything surprising, men are very visual creatures. God created us to be aroused visually.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our genetic makeup. You will notice a woman. And yes. Looking at a woman or noticing her, looking, going, oh, that's a pretty woman, things like that, that is not sin.
David looked on Bathsheba.
Yes.
Across the rooftop while she was bathing.
That wasn't sinful.
Correct. It was not.
That particular thing. But lingering.
When he acted on it.
Yes. Lingering, lusting, beginning to stare and view and so on. One of the things I learned was called what they called the eye bounce, which is if you look and you see a woman, that's not a sin. Look away. But if you start looking back, that's where you're giving way into sin.
Yeah, I think in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about that. And I'm going to read that real quick. It's Matthew 5, 27, and this is in the Amplified Bible. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who so much as looks at a woman with evil desire for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Mm-hmm. When Jesus talks about the heart, he's talking about your desires. That's what he's referring to, is your desires, not your actual heart that's beating blood, but those inner desires. You've committed adultery already just by glancing and looking and continuing to look.
Yes. And it's one of those things. That's why when people will say, and when you talk to people about pornography and things like that, people will look at you and say, well, it's a victimless crime. It's not really hurting anybody. These people are posing of their free will, all that kind of stuff. Number one, that's not true. But beyond that, that verse of, I'm looking at this and I'm lusting in my heart, you've already sinned. So it isn't. I think the second thing would be to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
Yes.
You know, the thing to ask yourself is, what are you filling your heart with? What are you watching on TV? What are you looking at on your computer? What are you filling your heart with? You know, Matthew 15:19 says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. So if you're not guarding your heart and you're not filling it with the scripture and reading the Bible and taking those times to do stuff to fill your life with light,
mm-hmm.
If you're looking at stuff, you're like, well, why do I keep falling into this? Well, what are you looking at?
you open a door for the enemy to walk right in. If you're not guarding your heart, you're actually opening a door to your heart
mm-hmm.
to allow the enemy just to walk right in and set up camp.
Yep. Thirdly is be accountable. Find somebody who's trustworthy to be your accountability partner.
Yes.
I mean, that group of guys, it was freeing to be able to go sit down with people and say, this is what's happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to have them be able to say, yeah, or give you, you know, tips on how to fight it and so on. I mean, it very lines up with Proverbs 27:17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Because the thing the enemy doesn't want you to realize is sin has its greatest hold over you when it's a secret.
Yeah, the Bible also says two is better than one. If you're just by yourself, there's nobody there to hold you up. There's nobody there to be an encouragement to you.
Yeah.
There's nobody there to push you to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. If you're just by yourself, or if you have one or two more people with you,
yeah,
that makes a strong cord. That makes a cord that's going to withstand the temptation.
Yeah.
If a temptation is coming your way and you have one or two people that you know, no matter if it's 3 a.m. or if it's 9:00 a.m. or if it's 2 p.m, that you know that at any point in time you can call that person and rely on them to help you, you're more likely to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're dealing with.
Yes.
Than if you're just by yourself.
To close things out, I wanted to take a moment to talk directly to parents. You know, I had to find pornography outside of the house when I was growing up. It wasn't something. Today, it's directly at your fingertips if you have a laptop and access to the internet. So I'm just going to say this to those parents who are like, well, you know, my kids aren't doing this. They're not looking at this. If your child has access to the internet, especially social media, they've seen some form of pornography.
There's a very high chance.
Yes.
Something's come across their path. Their eyes have viewed something that they've never seen before.
Yeah. You know, I was looking on the internet today for something to kind of back this up. And the Santa Clara, California Sheriff's Department put these few facts out. And honestly, it applies to everyone everywhere. It says 1 in 5 kids from the ages of 10 to 17 who are regular internet users are sexually solicited online. 1 in 4 receives unwanted sexual content online. You know, 2, solicitation of minors for sex online is growing at a rate of 1,000% every month.
Wow.
And then lastly, fewer than 15% of parents feel they know more about their computers than their teenage sons and daughters, or know how to trace where their kids' computers have traveled online. I've talked to my daughter about this a number of times. You know, she's gone through things of setting up devices and things to help monitor what's going on in her home and make sure certain things don't happen. And she'll look at me and go, I don't know how they got around this. Kids are more technically savvy than you are. That's just the bottom
line.
Well,
and these people that run these pornography sites, their goal is to attack your kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's their goal. Their goal is to get into your kids' lives.
Yes. And the other thing I would say to parents besides just be aware is talk to your kids. Don't be afraid to talk to your kids about sex, about pornography, about masturbation, about all of that stuff. I mean, yes, do it age appropriately. But if you don't teach them, the world will.
And I think in today's world, we can just be so grateful that there are a number of people, Christian authors, who have put out some awesome books
mm-hmm.
that are geared towards parents, Christian parents, and they're geared towards children
yes.
and teenagers to help in being able to sit down and talk through these issues in a very open way. I think parents are beginning to become more diligent in making sure that their kids know the truth about sex and what God's plan is for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's one of those things, like I said, begin talking age appropriately to your kids about sex, about what sexual sin is, because if you don't teach them, the world will. Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I wanted to thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit us at www.holeintheroof.co. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you're in need of prayer, we would be honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer request, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next week as we once again invite you into our living room while we discuss just how awesome God is.